Courage will astound you. Their stories will move you. Their faith will inspire you.
Welcome to Great Stories About Great Saints on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
You know, what a great day to pray the chaplet, huh? We will call upon the intercession of all of the saints, right? Especially St. Faustina. We'll call upon St. Paczynski, the founder of the Marians. Blessed Michael Sopochko. And we'll get all these divine mercy saints and future saints praying with us. You can join us too, 888-914-9149, and try to get as many calls as I can get in there. Hey, just a couple quick intentions here as we kick it off. I do want to pray for Father's mother and for all those who've lost loved ones. Pray for Wanda. We'll pray for Father and his intentions. I want to pray for yours. Elsa writes to us. She says, hey, good afternoon. I'm asking prayers for my son. His fiance broke off their engagement and left with everything they had in the apartment. He's hurting, and he's alone now in Utah. Please pray for my son. He doesn't understand what happened. She won't give him any concrete explanation. All she says is that she needs to clear her thoughts. I'm also asking prayers for my daughter. She says her boyfriend's an atheist and has told her if she ends up pregnant, she's having an abortion. Please pray that she leaves this relationship, that my daughter's eyes are open to the reality of toxic relationships. And we'll certainly do that. I want to pray for those with broken hearts today, those who've been wounded in their relationships, those who are in abusive or toxic relationships, those that are just not healthy, as you heard in those last emails. And we'll ask God to enter in. I want to pray for those of you who are now going through divorce where there's division in your family and in your marriage. We'll ask for healing today. Let's ask God really to heal. Another person said, hey, please pray for our daughter during the chaplet. We're so desperate. We do not know what to do. We need help. She's 20 years old, Drew, and she's chosen a hopeless path of misery. She struggles with mental illness and addictions. She's a habitual liar. She's quit college and her job, and now we're very fearful that she has turned to selling her body for money. I just got to stop on that point. I can't think of anything more horrible, anything more sad, any deeper wound a parent has got to go through. Can you imagine that? You want to help your child. She's addicted, has mental illness. She ends up on the street, and then you think people are going to take advantage of a girl in that situation. I never understood that. Men who use pornography, not men who use pornography, but men who engage in prostitution. I just think that's somebody's daughter. You know, that's somebody's sister. That to further denigrate and abuse that woman. It's just so hard. And I feel bad because a lot of these girls that are on the street like this, guys too, are there because of addiction or mental illness. She blames God, the email says, for her mental illness and doesn't want anything to do with her faith anymore. We're scared of what might happen to her if she continues this destructive path. We pray for her heart and that she chooses the right way of living towards the light instead of darkness. Would you please ask everyone to pray for our little girl? And you know, that's really what she is, right? She's her little girl, not some object. You know, she's sick and she needs help. And I read these emails that come in. I said to Maggie, I said, oh, just breaks my heart. You think you have problems, you don't. When you see the crosses other people carry, it's just a killer. But you know, as Maggie was saying to me, she's Drew, so great that, you know, our first hour was dedicated to the saints of the impossible. And nothing is impossible with God. I'm absolutely convinced of that. I know when we're in the middle of a difficult situation, it does seem impossible. It seems there's no way out. The math just doesn't add up, right? The addiction seems too powerful. The cancer is too aggressive. I mean, it's really easy to buy into the walls of this life. And I get it, you know? The math, the science. But God's above all those things. God can change anything, and he can do so in an instant. And we need to pray with that type of faith today. So if you're in a difficult situation, if you're not seeing a way out, if you really need a miracle in your life, let's invoke the powerful intercession of all of those saints, all right? Many of them interceding for us. I've shared with you before, St. Therese says her mission would begin. Faustina said the same thing. You know, the saints are more alive than ever, right? Life is just a transition. Those who have had near-death experiences say it's like changing the frequency on your radio. You know, it's like going from one signal to another, one frequency to another. You become more alive. You become who you truly are. You're free from the restraints and the bondages of this life. You're able to love perfectly. And I think they're able to intercede even more powerfully. So let's call upon those saints today, and we'll do that in a special way for you. Maggie, anything you want to pray for?
Wow, Drew, you're getting me worked up just listening to these stories about people's intentions.
Yeah, unbelievable.
I just feel like I made a new friend learning about St. Philomena.
And I love it.
I just want to pray through her intercession today and just ask for an increase in belief and courage and chastity and purity. She sounds like an amazing saint to be friends with.
Oh, she's unbelievable. She will intercede in big time ways. Finances, purity, health, virtue, whatever it is, call upon her. So we'll add her to our ranks today. And let's pray. Let's pray for you, whatever your intentions are. I'll do my best to get a few extra calls in if I can today. And we'll just pray in Thanksgiving, too, for the many answered prayers that continue to come into the chaplet and into our lives. Oh, one more thing. Can you pray for my wife? She's under the weather. You know, I had that terrible respiratory infection, cold, whatever it was. I was down and out. She is now down and out. So kind of thought that would be coming, but I'm going to pray for her on this day. And I want to pray for this guy, George, and his brother, Donald, who were on a trip with me. They came down with COVID, and George, we're praying for you. I got your email. Name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, our first call today comes from Megan in Vassalboro, Maine. I hope I got that right. Vassalboro, Maine. Hey, did I get that right, Megan? Good afternoon. Forgive me for butchering that.
It's Vassalboro.
There you
no,
go.
No problem. Thank you so
good to
much.
Have you.
Thank you.
I'm praying
today for, sure, my daughter is 2 years old, and she has a heart condition. We've been monitoring it since she's been born, and the doctors say it's very unlikely to close on its own. So we're praying for a miracle so that she doesn't have to undergo any surgery.
Well,
we're seeing the cardiologist tomorrow.
We'll pray for a miracle for her. I'm going to pray hard for that today. I remember years ago when I first started praying the chapel on the air, a very similar situation came where they had a child. There was a diagnosis with this hole in the heart, and very, very concerned. They called. They went back to the physician like you are to the doctor and took another set of scans for whatever procedure they had to do. And the hole had disappeared. My producer, Maggie, was just telling me, too. Maggie, open your phones, to your mic, if you could, because you were born, you just told me, I didn't know this, with several holes in your heart.
Yeah, Megan, I wanted to encourage you. I was born with holes in my heart, and it was looking like they would have to operate at some point. Oh, is that her? Is that her making noise?
That's my six-month-old
Oh,
Sawyer.
Wow. There you go.
Okay.
She's sleeping for nap time before mass tonight.
Oh, well, my family went to pray on campaign for me, and I never needed to have surgery. Everything healed up on its own. So I wanted to encourage you to keep praying, and maybe to our new friend, St. Philomena.
All right. Well,
wonderful.
Thank you, Maggie. Let's pray for
you. I've been praying every day for years.
All right. We'll pray tonight. I'm going to head out, I think, to the National Shrine of St. Maximilian Kolbe tonight to pray. So I'll remember your beautiful children and you in our prayers. Let's pray now in the name of the Father, eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Stan in St. Charles, Illinois. Good afternoon.
How you doing, Drew?
Hey, Stan, pretty good.
I have two requests. Number one, that we elect righteous people in this coming election.
Amen.
And number two, I pray, when I pray the decades of the chaplet, I meditate on the sorrowful mysteries.
Beautiful.
And I find this to be a form of prayer that raises me above the vocal prayer. And I feel so strong praying those sorrowful mysteries along with you.
Wow, how beautiful. Well, I love that. It's a beautiful way to meditate on the passion of our Lord. And the Lord had asked us to do that. You know, he told St. Faustina many, many times to meditate on his great passion. There's a merit and there is a grace that comes with that. And I want to thank you for your prayer too, Stan, because I think we have obligations. We have an obligation as citizens of this country. You know, not just to vote, but I think we have an obligation really to pray as followers of Christ, you know, as believers, to ask God to give us those righteous, virtuous men and women who can help govern and allow this nation to be the nation God intended it to be. And we can decry the politics, we can talk about the division, we can get angry, we can get distracted. It does nothing. But one prayer, I mean, your prayer, one individual's prayer, you know, can do more than any political leader ever could. And I believe if we can ask God for mercy on this country, give us good leaders, we will have a much brighter future. So, Lord, I give you the country. I give you its citizenry. I give you, in a special way, our leaders. And I give you Stan and all of his intentions as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, before we go to our next call, we'll go to Maggie, who's monitoring your Twitter intentions. Please follow us on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show. You can put up your intentions there, and we're praying for you. Follow me also at Drew Mariani. Love to talk with you then, too. Maggie was coming in.
Cindy wrote to us, Drew, she said, my friend's dad passed away early this morning. His name was Noberto Rinaldo. Please pray for the repose of his soul. Okay. Ramona asks for prayers for her mom, Patricia, who's 84 years old and has a fever right now from an unknown cause. They're asking that the Lord would break her fever and restore her health. And Drew, this one made me smile. Diana said, my granddaughter, Sophie, says, Grandma, can you call Drew and ask him to pray for me?
I love her.
We're at urgent care. She has fever, coughing, sore throat, and headache. No. Thank you for your prayers.
We're going to pray for her right now. That fever breaks and that little baby gets restored to complete health. I love that. Boy, that prayer goes right to the heart of God. Mm-hmm. I'm convinced of it. And we're going to pray right now for, what was her name, Sophie? Is that it?
Sophie, yeah.
Sophie, I'm going to pray for you tonight, too. If you're not feeling that great, you know, because you were at the doctor's, I'm going to pray for you tonight when I go to Mass, okay? So count on my prayers, all right? And Lord, I just give you that beautiful girl and all of these intentions. We want to add to that from Reno, Nevada today, Coco, who's joining us. Coco, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew and everyone.
I would like to ask for prayers for my friend Katie Hastings. She has been battling cancer for 4 years already, and I have asked our Lord and St. Faustina to heal her, and I'm asking all of you to join in our prayer for her. And also, I would like to pray for my son and my daughter's vocations, and also for all those who do not trust and love our Lord Jesus Christ.
You got it. Thank you for the beautiful prayers. And pray for all those especially suffering with cancer today. Lord, I pray for protection against this disease for me, for my loved ones. I pray for those who you've allowed to carry this cross for fortitude and for strength. And I also pray for those miracles of your mercy, that your healing touch will liberate, free, restore, vanquish those cancerous cells. I give you all the intentions that have been voiced to all those now united to me in prayer as we turn to you with faith and with confidence. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy. Mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, so Saria is up next, praying in Moline, Illinois. Hi, Saria.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. My prayers, please. I need prayers for my granddaughter, who was just taken to the emergency room down in Florida. I live in Illinois. Okay. She stepped on a smoldering fire pit and burned her feet. Please pray for her. She's only 2 years old.
Oh, the baby. No.
Okay, and that everything's okay.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. Well, look, you be at peace, okay? Put your faith and your confidence in the Lord right now. We're going to pray that those doctors are going to be able to bring remedy. Lord, we thank you for your mercy. Thank you for medicine and our technology. And I just ask that those caring for this child will be your hands, and then you can bring complete healing. Lord, if it's your will, we pray for complete and miraculous healing always. I never limit you in these. But I give you this grandmother whose heart's broken. And I pray for all those now in emergency situations, those in the ERs, those in NICUs and PICUs. Lord, those who are approaching their moment of death. I pray for those souls, those now enduring accident and tragedy. And I just give to you these situations. We give it to our children and our grandchildren and all those we love as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, I'll see if I can get a few extra calls in here today. Irma is in Modesto, California. Irma, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'd like to ask for prayers for my nephew who suffers from anger issues, and he abuses drugs, and it's just a difficult situation at home right now with my sister and my brother-in-law.
I'm sorry to hear that. All right, well, let's pray for them, Irma. We'll certainly ask for God's intervention wherever there's dysfunction, especially in relationships, wherever there's drugs, wherever there's abuse, wherever there's violence, wherever there's hurt. Lord, I just ask that through your mercy, allow your divine mercy to be the balm that brings healing to those ruptured, broken relationships, to those heart wounds and those soul wounds. Connie's in New Jersey. We'll add her to our fifth decade as well. Hi, Connie. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. I had reached out to someone last week. I was involved in a family rosary across America. Mm-hmm. I had called and asked for prayers for my son. He has an addiction problem. And yesterday at 5 o'clock.
Connie, call back. Your signal just dropped. I saw you disappear from my screen. I'd love to hear that miracle story. Send it in. Maggie was saying in my headsets, addiction really seems to be a theme today. Lord, I pray for healing right now. I pray for liberation, the breaking of those chains, releasing those demonic hooks. Anyone right now that is dealing with addiction, anyone whose family member is dealing with it, they may have the strength, the fortitude, the wisdom, the insight that they need in those situations. Caleb in Bryan, Texas, let me sneak you on today as well. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thanks. I'd like to pray for my wife for a miraculous healing for her severe endometriosis and gastroparesis, healing of her chronic pain and nausea. Okay. And that if it's not God's will to heal that, that he'll give us the strength and patience to bear it well.
What a beautiful prayer. We're going to pray. And I bumped into a girl I was on a pilgrimage with who was suffering from endometriosis. And I'm going to pray for any woman right now that has that. I know how difficult that can be and what the side effects are. And Lord, I just pray for anyone struggling also with fertility, carrying their child. I ask you to hear Caleb's call today, all these intentions today. I ask the intercession of all the saints that many miracles take place. And we pray for a miraculous healing right now for his wife. I still want to pray for that little Sophie, Lord. Heal her. Break that fever. Angela in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. Good afternoon.
Yes, if you can pray for God's will for my husband to work. He's been really trying hard to work where he's at, but I don't know that he's at the right place.
Okay. That's a good prayer. We'll pray for discernment and proper employment. And let me sneak one last call in maybe. Lori in Wisconsin. Good afternoon.
Yeah, Drew, I'd like to pray for you. I hope your cold gets better.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
And also, I want to pray for your daughter.
So sweet. Thank you. I'm sure she'll deeply appreciate that.
And also, I want to pray for your son.
Okay.
Also.
That's great.
And the...
Keep the prayers coming.
They found Tracy.
And they found Tracy, right?
Yeah, they did find Tracy, yes.
And fill everyone in on that who may have missed that intention. This is a missing person. You want to share that very quickly?
I don't know because I work with one of the ladies at work, and she told me about Tracy, and that, I don't know the whole story.
There was a lot of prayers that went missing, and again, this charism of the chaplain. We have people who are kidnapped, abducted, lost, silver alerts, amber alerts, and they're returned. God, for some reason, really seems to resonate, that prayer resonates, and we have a lot of answered prayers. So grateful for that. I pray for those away from the faith, that God will also hear that prayer, those who are lost spiritually. And they'll find their way back home. But Lori, thank you for praying for my family and my children and for me. I'm on the mend right now with my cold, I think. I'm just about out of the woods. And you'd all pray for my wife. I'd be grateful for that. But Lord, I give you everyone who's praying with me now, everyone on hold, Erica and Tim and Natalia and Arlene and Nettie and Loretta and Kathy and Andrea and all those who are writing and all those united with me in prayer. And I give you these souls. And I just ask you, hear their prayers. Hear the prayers of everyone who's now crying out to you on this beautiful day. I thank you because I know you hear these prayers. I know you bring good out of every situation. And I know that things are now in motion. So I pray in thanksgiving this final decade as well as we pray, Eternal Father. I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love. and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Palestine,
pray for us.
Reconciler of peoples and nations,
pray for us.
Virgin most powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jude,
pray for us.
Saint Rita,
pray for us.
Saint Philomena,
pray for us.
Saint Diffna,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for
all
us.
All you saints of the Divine Mercy devotion,
pray for us.
And all of you angels and all of you saints today,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hey, thank you for praying. Do me three favors. Okay, the first, tell one other person about this prayer. Okay, get them plugged in. It is so extraordinarily powerful. The fruit of it is just off the charts. The miracles that are taking place are incredulous. Yeah, they're really hard to really even sometimes believe. Two, do me a favor and send me that email, okay? Send those prayer intentions in, okay? Send them to us at drew@relevantradio.com. drew@relevantradio.com. Just in the byline, put answered prayer. You know, sometimes people put praise report. But just tell me how you called or you prayed or you joined us and how that divine mercy miracle took place in your life. And then three, let's continue just to pray for one another. All right? Great way to do that. You know, I'm praying for you throughout the day. I'll be remembering you tonight at Mass at the National Shrine of St. Maximilian Kolbe, calling upon that great martyr on your behalf. So count on my deepest prayers for you. When we come back, we'll continue our look at some of the great saints that we have in our beautiful faith. I'll tell you a story about 800 who died in one day. It's an amazing story.
All Saints Day means all saints all day.
Incredible journeys of faith, heroic holiness.
Welcome back to Great Stories About Great Saints on Relevant Radio.
And the Relevant Radio app.
It's great to reflect back on those who have lived these incredible lives of heroic virtue. Good afternoon, I'm Drew Mariani. Thanks for joining us. That's what we're doing today. You know, the irony of this, I'm sitting here after praying that chaplet, and I really do believe, one, the saints call, they choose us, right? But I also think that saints know saints, right? If you take a look at the early apostles, right? How many saints knew each other? You take a look at John Paul II, Mother Teresa, Maximilian Kolbe, you take a look at saints whose paths cross, right? Padre Pio and John Paul. I mean, it's pretty amazing. And I'm sure you and I have crossed paths with many great saints. You know, prayerfully, one day you will be that saint that God intended you to be. I will be, right? Will we pass this great test of life? Will I live that life of heroic virtue? A lot of saints, you know, are never raised to the altars. You know, a lot of people's sacrifice and mission throughout life goes unnoticed, but we're called to great sanctity. You're going to hear an amazing story, though, coming up in a second here, of men and women who are willing to lay their life down. I was just sharing with Maggie during the break a little bit of the story because I don't think she was aware of the martyrs of Otranto. And it really does inspire you when you hear about people who are willing to go to their death for the faith. Where are you? I mean that. I mean, you might say, well, oh, I would die. I'd take a bullet. I'd do that. Okay. But are you willing to die for the faith when it comes to people in the office? And they're talking about that same-sex marriage that they're going to or, you know, something that is attacking the church or the faith or contraception or like, do you just kind of sheepishly remain quiet because you want to keep peace? Do you stand up? Are you willing to die in reputation? Are you willing to die in some respects for the truth by being that voice of truth? Look, and I'm no saint. I got to take the plank out of my own eye. I'm sure there's many circumstances where I was not as bold or as vocal or as clear as perhaps I should be. It's just food for thought as you hear these stories coming up, because I thought today we'd take a look at, we looked at the saints of the impossible. I want to look at the martyrs. Some of these men and women who are willing to be impaled, right? Flayed alive, smeared with pitch and set alight, right, by Nero, fed to lions, boiled in oil, you know, put to death in unbelievable ways. I often think of John Paul II. Remember when he died, a great saint himself, right? He was pope known for canonizing more saints than anybody else until, guess what? Pope Francis came along and took the record from him. Pope Francis holds the record for having canonized more saints than any other pope in history. And you know why that is? You're like, well, he hasn't been a pope that long. John Paul was he became pope in 78, and he was there for, how did he do it, right? That's a lot of canonizations. The only reason that Francis holds the record is because he canonized a group of martyrs who all died on one day in 1480. These martyrs went to their death defending their homes, defending their family, and ultimately defending the honor of our Lord. They're known as the Martyrs of Otranto. And that's a small little city at the end of the heel of the boot of Italy. And what took place back in 1480, the heroic virtue that person after person after person exhibited, should inspire you. It does me. And I'm joined today by Dr. Donald Prudlow. It's good to have him here with us. He holds the William K. Warren Endowed Chair of Catholic Studies at the University of Tulsa. I believe we just went on the air. There was a Tucson we went on the air, Maggie, I think yesterday. He specializes in medieval religious history and medieval Italy, and he's here to tell you an absolutely fascinating story. Doctor, good to have you back. Welcome.
It's very good to be back, Drew. Thank you so much.
So let me hand you the football, so to speak. Let me just ask you, take us through this incredible story. The era in which these Christians happened to live, I know Islam was rearing its head. Bring us back to the culture, the conflict, and ultimately what led to 800 souls being willing to die in one day.
Well, the Ottoman Empire, which was an Islamic empire, was growing in strength at this time. And actually in 1453 had conquered the great Christian city of Constantinople, a city that people thought would never fall. It had successfully withstood the Muslims for 800 years, but under this very powerful Sultan, Sultan Mehmed, called Mehmed the Conqueror, he took that city. And he set his sights really on the last great Christian city from the ancient world. He'd already taken over Jerusalem, they'd taken over Antioch, Alexandria, now Constantinople. And all that was left was Rome. This is an ancient Islamic dream to try to take over Rome. And to tell you the truth, at this time, the underbelly of Europe was wide open. There was no, the Spanish monarchy was just really getting on its feet again. There were some weak princes. There were some weak popes, for that matter, during this period. And Mehmed saw an opportunity. Near the end of his life, he sent a great fleet to south of Italy, in order to not necessarily invade, but to prepare for an invasion. Italy, as you know, juts out into the Mediterranean Sea, and Otranto, this little town right at the heel of the boot, pointing almost directly into Ottoman territory. The Muslims showed up there one day, they besieged the city, and the city held out for months. And it was this sacrifice, this holding out, that allowed the rest of Christian Europe time to prepare. But eventually, the Islamic force was too much. It was only a city of about 10,000 people. And the Muslims were not very happy at this delay because they knew how much it threatened their plans. And so when they finally captured the city, they sacked it. They went berserk. They attacked the cathedral. They killed the bishop on the high altar. They actually sawed many of the priests of the cathedral in half. Most of the women of the town they sold into slavery, which was a common practice for the Ottomans. Many of the upper classes were able to buy their way through ransom. But that left the lower classes, really, the normal everyday workers, the people that served as shopkeepers and as tailors and as farmers. And there were 813 of these left after these brutal depredations. And they were led by a tailor named Antonio Primaldo. And there was nothing special about these men. They were normal, everyday Catholics. They had served to defend their town, and now they had seen their town destroyed, the entire priesthood destroyed. They'd seen their women shipped off into slavery. And what they did have left was their faith and their honor. And so the Muslims invited many of them. If they would convert, they could survive. And all 813 of them, as I said, led by St. Antonio Primaldo, refused to do this. And so they took them up a hill, which was, in a symbolic sense, an ancient hill where pagan sacrifices had taken place, the Hill of the Minerva outside the city. And one by one, the Ottomans beheaded the men of Otranto, 813 of them. St. Antonio was the first to go. And according to tradition, St. Antonio, after he was decapitated, continued to stand. His body continued to stand upright until all of his compatriots had died. As is also the case in many of these stories, it left an impression on some of the Muslims. Some of the Muslims reportedly converted, including one Muslim named Bernabe, who suffered martyrdom with them as well.
Doctor, before you move off that point, I just think that's so spectacular. I just want to hit on that with you. My understanding, they took this guy's head off, so you should die, right? You've just been decapitated. His body stands up, right? And they tried to move this body. I had read somewhere where they tried to pull it with horses or whatever. Is that though there was some sort of invisible force that held that body in place? And I just think of one person after the next, knowing that they're going to their death, that their wife or their daughters are going to be sold into slavery, right? That the horrors that they're going to leave their family and their own impending death looms before them. You know, that 799th guy, that 800th guy, it's just like, oh my gosh, who's going to know all these other people are dead, right? I mean, each one of these men went to death in such a heroic, heroic way. And then as you point out, this witness of martyrdom, you know, it brought about the martyrdom of an Islamic person who saw this incredible witness to faith. What happened in the end? After the last guy was dead, did this body that was standing collapse? Was it, what happened? How did that wrap up?
It's not exactly clear. It seems that the body laid down at the end after the last one. So it's sort of like a guard of honor in order to honor the rest of the men that were going forth from him. But they, and this was meant, of course, as a terror attack, right? I mean, the Muslims did this not because they were essentially cruel, but because they wanted to send a message that any city in Italy that stood up like this is what was going to happen to them. But when they saw the courage of these martyrs, I can imagine if you find the first town you get to and you find 800 guys that are going to do this, and you're going to meet that everywhere you go in Christendom, well, I can imagine you thinking twice about invading Christendom again.
Wow. You're not kidding. That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. If you want to join us, the number here, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Feel free to join in. So the whole town was basically obliterated then, right? So what happened after this? You know, they took over the town, but 800 people have ultimately died. You know, what was the destiny? What came out of this great martyrdom?
Well, in actuality, Providence had other plans, because that year, Mehmed II was assassinated, and this led to a brutal power struggle within the Ottoman Empire that turns their attention away from Europe and actually gives Europe time to breathe. So the next Ottoman advance is not going to be until the 1529 siege of Vienna. So Europe has time to prepare. Spain, in the meantime, becomes a worldwide power, starts to build up its navy. And eventually, as we know, you know, in 1571, the combined navies of the Christian world led by Spain are going to defeat the Ottoman navy and secure the Mediterranean coast from them. And ever after that, the Ottoman Empire was on a downward trajectory while Europe at the same time was rising.
That's pretty amazing. So, you know, this took place, we're talking centuries ago, 1480. Why did it take them so long to get martyred? And somebody also raised a question to me. Maybe you can't answer this. I don't know. But I thought, if you are martyred, right, like Miguel Pro, for example, you know, he died stretching out his arms, and his last words were, "Vivo Cristo Rey." Are you automatically elevated to the altars? I mean, it took Pope Francis to ultimately, you know, canonize these 800 martyrs. How does that work?
Right. I like to say there's a distinction between capital S saints and small S saints.
Okay. And what is that? Did I lose the signal? You know, doctor, you got to hold that thought, because I just lost the feed in my head. I'm not sure whether I still have you or not. I'll tell you, I'm going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll draw that distinction. And if you think that story about the dead man rising without his head, standing implacable, unable to be moved, I'll share another one with you. Another great martyr. Stay with me. Our conversation continues right after this. Our First Amendment says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And we are seeing that today.
They didn't want the state telling you how you could or could not practice your faith.
Each of us has a right to be who we are before God.
It's a classical statement of religious liberty that
man is not free unless he is free on the inside.
So we have to have the freedom to believe what we believe. And that's what the First Amendment says. You know, Thomas Jefferson was talking about this very point when he wrote that letter. And he used the very famous statement that has now been used over and over again, the wall of separation. And he said that the First Amendment had erected a wall of separation that would protect them
from any intrusion of government.
In Jefferson's mind, the wall of separation was the unidirectional wall. It was put there to keep the government out of the church, not to keep the influence of the church out of government. And that's where we have gotten it wrong.
A look at the news and issues of the day through the eyes of our faith. The Drew Mariani Show, 2 p.m. Central on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Great stories about great saints on Relevant Radio.
Well, it's good to be back with you today, taking a look in this segment at some of the great martyrs of the faith. And boy, you talk about 800 men who went to their deaths, defending their homes, their families, their faith, being a witness for the faith, willing to lose their head, their possessions. And ultimately, just, you know, the hard part for me in that whole thing was knowing what the Muslim invaders were going to do, how they were going to take your spouse and your children and sell them into slavery. I mean, what kind of future are you leaving your family? And all you had to do was say, oh, I'm going to convert, right? But that wasn't the case. They were willing to die for truth. And what an amazing, amazing story. Doctor, when we left off, and my apologies, we had a little hiccup there. Your last words, Drew, I like to draw a distinction between large S saints and small S saints. Let me let you pick it up on that point.
Sure, Drew. When I say small S saints, I mean anyone that is currently in heaven. All right. We know that there are many people who are not publicly recognized by the church. Anyone who is in heaven is a saint. Absolutely. And so that's and in a martyr, the case of a martyr in particular, martyrdom means go directly to heaven. All right. There's no purgatory. There's no nothing. To give one's life for Christ is like a baptism of blood. It's like a pure cleansing, a complete cleansing. Now, when I say capital S saint, what I mean by that is someone that has been recognized by the church through a long series of public investigations of both their virtues and their miracles that's finally culminates in an act of canonization by the Pope. And that's what Francis did in 2012. He authorized certain small S saints are raised by the church into capital S saints. And that they are examples for the rest of the church. They are shining examples for us to imitate, for us to invoke, for us to pray. And so what the church was saying after 500 years, after these investigations, is that look to Antonio Primaldi, this humble tailor, and all of his companions who bravely and honorably defended the name of Christ in the most difficult of circumstances. For that, they merit public recognition.
Amen to that. Well, I love it. Hey, Doctor, thank you for your time. Thanks for always being a witness to this. Before I let you go, is there a book you'd recommend if people want to learn more about these incredible saints?
There's no book directly in English about the martyrs of Otranto. You can find their canonization book on the Vatican website, which gives a little biography of them. So if you look at the Acts of Pope Francis on the Vatican website and you click through his canonizations, you'll find the first one he did after it was actually intended to be by Benedict. And the booklet for their canonization is there, along with the Pope's sermon for that occasion and their biography.
All right, well, I'm so grateful for your time. Thank you, Doctor, and have a happy feast day. We'll remember you.
Thank you
prayers.
Very much. Happy feast day. Thank God you. Bless bye-bye.
That's Dr. Prudlow. Say a prayer for him, too, bringing to you these great saints of our faith, really. And I look at the martyrdoms of saints that have suffered in unimaginable ways. I mean, this is a great one. I thought I'd put that on your radar, the martyrs of Otranto. There was another expert, a guy named Dr. Matthew Bunsen. I don't know whether he wrote a book. I guess he hasn't written one, but you ought to check him out too, because he's written extensively about this as well. But let me share one other story with you, if I could, quickly here. The story of the martyrs of Otranto, it speaks to the fact that with God, all things are possible, right? If you're laying down your life, God's there. Right, we have this story of this headless body of Saint Antonio Primaldo. Right, he's first in line. He knows that his family's going to be sold into slavery. The Muslim executors take a sword to his neck. They cut off his head, and he stands up while the 799 men behind him witness this, blood spurting from his body, you know, he's down on the ground, stands up, he's dead, right? They try to move the body, they can't do it with horse, they can't do it with soldier. Well, you know, the other 800 fellow companions there in that Italian city of Otranto, I think they were inspired by this. They knew something divine was happening, and they professed their Catholic faith, and then they too lost their heads, right? They went to their death. There are actually a few saints who are said to have not only stood upright after losing their head, but to have even picked up their heads. Talk about creepy, right? That's, you imagine that? If I'm the executor, I'm out of here, right? I am out. If this dead body bends over and picks up his head. Did you ever hear the story of St. Denis? He was the first bishop of Paris, and he was sent there with two companions to preach the gospel to these pagans in the third century. I think of those early chapters, the first few hundred years of our church. Every pope ended up becoming a martyr. You know, Christians went to their death. You know, it was just amazing. So you're in the third century here, and he became so successful in a pagan culture, converting people to the Catholic faith, that the Druid priests and their priestesses, the area, they became so jealous, right? Because this was the big religion of the time. They were losing their followers. People were leaving that pagan religion, and they were becoming Christians. So what did they do? They complained to the Roman governor who had Denis arrested and his companions. And he held him in prison for a pretty long time, hoping that this would kind of quiet everything down. Well, eventually the three of them were taken to the highest hill in the area. It was known as Montmartre, I think is that the name of it. It's where the Basilica of the Sacred Heart now is. I cannot remember it off the top of my head. And they were beheaded, right? They were taken, their heads were taken off by a sword. Now, here's the interesting part of the story, right? St. Denis, they said, picked up, bent over his head, his decapitated body, bent over, picked up his head, and then took off. He started walking. He walked several miles. And they claim, now again, is it tradition? Is it true? He walked several miles with his hand, with his head, while preaching repentance the whole way. Now, I know it sounds gruesome. It sounds incredulous and unbelievable. Why? Because it's so bizarre? Drew, maybe. I'm with you. It doesn't make any sense, but how does somebody who's dead, like Antonio Promaldo, stand up without his body and being unable to be moved even by horses or other forces? Why is it so bizarre that another saint who died for truth, God would allow to be a witness to that truth by bending over and picking up his head and walking and preaching the importance of repentance? The place where he finally died is now covered by the splendid Basilica of St. Denis. So if you didn't have a chance, go and check that out. One more story here, if you don't mind. And, of course, I'd love to hear from you, too. You're more than welcome to join me. France is a place just rich with apparitions. It's rich with saints. It's rich with martyrs. And in France, let's fast forward from the 2nd century to the 18th century. If you know your history, it was a time of great turmoil for the church. They call France the eldest daughter of the church, and that country was a mess. It was in chaos. The French Revolution is on. You're now in the Reign of Terror in France at the time, and when Madame Guillotine is working her grisly business, you know, the people don't have any hint of connection to the monarchy at this time, and it's marked, it's just marked by a time of great execution, right? Up the stairs, people have their heads, and they come down in a basket. But not just the monarchy was in chaos at the time, but Catholics were also targeted, right? Especially priests and religious. And there was a group of Carmelite nuns who were found, and they were taken to prison, and they were held. And I think these are nuns, right? They were stripped of their religious garments, and they were forced into these street clothes. And their crime, of course, was not celebrating the now secular regime and clinging to the truth of who God is. You know, you couldn't believe that. Not now. No, you couldn't profess belief in God. No. So when it came time for them to be martyred, they were loaded up in a cart. And as they went, they started singing. And when they got to the bottom of the platform, they began to sing, you know, the Te Deum, the hymn of praise used in the morning prayer of liturgy. Familiar with it, that morning prayer of liturgy of the hours on Sundays and solemnities, sometimes you'll hear. And each sister, she went to the Mother Superior, and she asked permission from the Mother Superior to go and die. You imagine that? You imagine being the Mother Superior, right? So as each one was beheaded, the others kept singing until all 16 of these beautiful women were martyred. What's amazing is just a few days later, the reign of terror, it came to an end. An unexpected end. And I often wonder, was this martyrdom, was the blood spilt, the seed of peace? You know, let's hope their prayers will bring about a thorough conversion to their former country and ultimately to the world. Yeah, we need it, right? We need it more than ever today. Well, let's call upon these martyrs, right? Let's call upon these wonderful saints. And maybe ask yourself a question, too. And I think about this. If today somebody came in, right, came into the Relevant Radio studios here with us, Maggie, and they grabbed you and put a gun to your head or a knife to your throat and said, deny Christ, you know, I want you to convert to Islam or whatever it is. Would you be willing to die? And would you? I mean, I'd like to think yes, but I don't know. I would like to see, you know, in theory, oh, of course I would die. Yeah, slit my throat, put a bullet in me. I'm not afraid to die, you know. But I don't know. Would you be willing to lay your life down in martyrdom?
I would hope so. Who knows? You know, sometimes I think about that scripture that says, don't worry about what you will say when you're on trial, for the Holy Spirit will, you know, give you the right words. I would hope that in those moments, I would know the right words to say, and I would have the courage to stand up.
I do too. And I think what happens in times like that, there's a grace that's given to you. Because I don't see how you can be flayed alive or crucified or, you know, put to death unless you are given a supernatural grace in that moment, you know. So I think a lot of us think, oh, you know, of course I would do it. I hope so. I think the martyrs of Otranto, who we just talked about, I mean, their case was even more difficult because you have time to think about what's happening. You're looking at these seething invaders, and you know your loved ones are going to be sold into slavery, sexual slavery, all sorts of other hardship. And all you had to say no. Right? A lot of people could have just said no and lived. And we talked about St. Philomena, who could have been the empress, right? If she said yes, but she took a vow to her chastity. I mean, we're all called to sacrifice. You know, not all of us. Many of us will never be called to lay down our life. But there are opportunities you'll have today to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Maybe to die to self. Maybe to die to truth. And it will be uncomfortable. And it'll be difficult. My young daughter inspires me. She often stands up and speaks truth in very awkward situations. But, you know, she's done the right thing. And when she stands before God, she'll be able to hold her head high.